Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the beautiful songs you prepare for us. We thank you for using the worship team to lead us into worship. We thank you for speaking to us. Your Holy Spirit is with us this morning. And when you speak to us, may we all listen and follow. As today, good morning, New Hope Christian Church. Good morning. Everybody's here, right? Well, except Pastor Matt. He is visiting his father, so I'm speaking on his behalf. Today, the title is going to be A Promised Future Despite an Undeniable Past. Actually, I copied this title from the Chinese sermon, so it may sound familiar to the Chinese one, but the sermons are different. So I need to give credit to the author, which is Minister Naiman. A Promised Future Despite an Undeniable Past. As I turned on my computer last night, this is what I see, what I saw. Undeniable. What happened last night? Undeniable. The Astros won the second time. Right? We were celebrating. It's undeniable. What is undeniable means to us? It means unmistakable, right? Unquestionable, undisputable. It happened in the past. We cannot change it. That's undeniable. Well, the World Series happened last night. So it is the past. It's the undeniable past. So, George, what are you talking about? Why do you say promised future in an undeniable past? Well, our past consists of a lot of things. Be honorable things, good things, can be bad things, can be broken things, can be shameful things that I don't want to talk about. And that's undeniable. It is inclusive. Everything is included. The good, the bad, the ugly, and the brokenness. So despite of that, there is a promised future. And that promised future is from God. Today, we're going to look at Joshua chapter 9 and 10. So if you have your Bible or your phone, you may turn on to the app or the Bible. Open up to Joshua chapters 9 and 10. It's going to be interesting. So let me give you a little bit of background on what's going on. So back in Exodus 4:10, God told Moses that he's going to the promised land. He is going to drive out the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Canaanites. And take care, do not make any covenant with the inhabitants. And he will send harness before him. He will drive out them. He will drive them out before you. And that includes a vast piece of land. And then you know what? Moses didn't trust God and then hit the rock. So God said, you're not going in. So 40 years later, he sent the spies into the land of milk and honey, 12 spies. So what happened? 10 come back with real positive feedback. And 10 of them said, no, the people joining the land are strong. The cities are fortified, very large. They are stronger than we are. They are of great height. And we seem to ourselves like grasshoppers. And so we seem to them. And all the Israelites listened to 10 spies, thinking that the people in the land of milk and honey, which is promised, is fearful. All the cities are fortified, very large. They cannot do it on their own. So they fear, and they decide not to go in. And because of that, God sent them to the wilderness for 40 years. And after 40 years, Joshua is the one who's leading in the Israelites to go into the land of milk and honey. Moses cannot go in because he hit the rock and didn't trust God and get angry. So let's pick it up at Joshua chapter 8. This is after they won the battle of Jericho and Ai. And then Joshua led the Israelites back to Mount Ebal and Gerizim to renew the covenant. As you remember, Moses did make a covenant with God with six tribes standing on Mount Ebal and six tribes standing on Mount Gerizim, blessing others. The one on Ebal are cursing, and they have to obey. And God already told Moses and the Israelites, if you obey, I'll bless you. If you don't obey, I'll curse you. So 40 years, as of then, Joshua is also leading the Israelites to renew their vow, the covenant. So what is a covenant? A covenant is an agreement, a promise. When God made a covenant with Abraham, it's non-conditional. He just said, yeah, Abraham, I'll give you the land, I'll give you descendants. But under Moses' time, is what you call the Mosaic covenant. It's depending on conditional on obedience. When you obey, you're blessed. When you don't, you get cursed. And this is what happened in chapter 8. So Joshua built an altar, the God of Israel, on Mount Ebal. And all of Israel stood on opposite sides of the Ark of the Covenant before the Levitical priests, half of them in front of Mount Gerizim and half of them in front of Mount Ebal. Then Joshua read all the words of the law, the blessing and the curse. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded that Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel and the women and the little ones and the sojourners who lived among them. So everybody knew the covenant and everybody knew all the words in the covenant because Joshua just read it to them. And this is what's going to happen. So in Joshua chapter 9 and 10, we're going to look at the determined, the derailed, the disbelieved, and then the delivered. So as you turn your Bible to Joshua chapter 9, will you all stand so we can pray? Let's bow our head. Father God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy because you are a kind and merciful God. Your compassion overflows. Your love is forever kind. Father God, we thank you. We ask you to be with us. We ask you to soften our hearts, open our ears so we can listen. And get us ready. Get us stand up. Get our legs ready to move so we can follow when we hear. Father God, may we be obedient to you. May we be obedient just like you have commanded. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's continue to stand and read Joshua chapter 9, verses 3 to 6. But when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they on their part acted on cunning and went on, made ready provisions and took worn-out sacks for the donkeys and wineskins, worn out and torn and mended, with worn-out patched sandals on their feet and worn-out clothes. And all the provisions were dry and crumbly, and they went to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal and said to him, and to him, the man of Israel, we have come from a distant country, so now make a covenant with us. Amen. We all be seated. Thank you. As you read, the Gibeonites were asking to make a covenant, to make an agreement. If you read the chapters verses 1 and 10, 1 to 2, it said, now it came out when all the kings who were beyond the Jordan in the hill country and in the lowland and on the coast of Great Sea toward Lebanon, the Hittites and the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hittites, and the Jebusites heard of it, and they gathered themselves together with one accord to fight with Joshua and with Israel. So the Gibeonites just make an alliance with other tribes to fight against Israel because they heard what God has done to their neighbors, Jericho and Ai, and even the kings across from the River Jordan. They were afraid. That's why they make an alliance. They think they can fight against God by getting together. In a way, it could be true. but they don't know who they're facing. They're facing God. And the Gibeonites did something different. Even though they make an alliance, they're really fearful. They're fearful of the death. Because of what they heard, they really trust God, knowing that God is much powerful than man, even than the alliance of so many tribes, so many people, so many warriors. And don't forget, they are powerful warriors themselves. And they themselves live in a fortified city. And they are living in one of the big cities, just like a royal city. So even they are so powerful themselves. They're so good themselves. They don't trust themselves. That's why they send the diplomats out to make a covenant with the Israelites. They know the Israelites are the covenantal people. They know that the Israelites are promised by God to take out the land and to destroy all the inhabitants there. So they are fearful of their life. That's why they go and make a covenant. Too bad they didn't do real well, because a lot of us will think, how can you do this? You deceive the Israelites because they acted with cunning, went and made ready provisions, even worn out cloths and different things and dry food, and pretended to be like very far away. They tried to deceive the Israelites, and they were successful. But they have an ultimate motive, which is they are fearful of God, the God of Israel. They know, even though they have alliance with other tribes, they cannot stand a chance with the God of Israel, because the God of Israel is so powerful. He can split over the Red Sea, the Jordan River, so people can cross. It's above man. And a lot of times we still trust ourselves, myself included, that I trust that I can do it without going to God. But are we fearful? I am fearful too. As you all know, I'm 62. I'm fearful of death also. It's coming. But on the other hand, now that I know God, I have that calm and peace in me, knowing that with that promise, I'll be with him one day. Even though my body is dead, my soul and spirit is with Jesus, and that is eternal, and that's a promise. And knowing that promise, the Gibeonites are risking a lot. They risk angering their neighbors, their alliance partners, their own people, just to make a covenant with God, because they want the peace from God. That reminds me when I was in China one year, and then we were doing a summer camp, and then after a speech that some teenagers came and accepted Christ. And it seemed so easy. At first they have doubt. I mean, is it that it? That's it? They would, God will take me as it is, as I am, even though I'm so bad? I said, yes. God is so merciful. It doesn't matter what you do, what you've done, he will take you as long as you repent and know he is God. So someone would say, okay, all these high school girls, boys, I mean, if they receive Christ so easily, is their faith real? This little girl, like the Gibeonites, I mean, some of the girls, not all of them, but all the girls. One girl especially, her family was really supportive of her. She is like number one or number two in the whole high school. She's so smart. And her parents are so supportive of her joining the summer camp. But when her parents found out that she accepted Christ, her parents said, no more, you're not going. You're not associating with those people. They brainwash you. They are no good. You have a bright future in front of you. You're going to be a doctor. You're going to be a physician and an engineer. You have a good future in front of you. You're not going to ruin like this and say you are a Christian. So her parents stopped her from joining the summer camp and with all the related activities. But this girl continued to contact us to ask us how to read the Bible and to teach her. Is her faith real? What do you think? Her faith is real to me. Right after she accepted Christ, Persecution came from the ones she knew, from the one who's closest to her, from the ones who love her, protect her, and be with her all the time. She was isolated. A wall was put between her and us. She cannot come to us anymore. But the Holy Spirit still connects us, so we can still speak to each other. So the faith is real. When someone has a faith to follow God, it doesn't matter what she has done or he has done in their past. I mean, what the Gibeonites did was not the best, but they did the best they knew to go to God and ask to make a covenant. And as a matter of fact, the Israelites did make a covenant with them. So let's see how come the Israelites will make a covenant with them, even though they were told not to make a covenant with any inhabitants of the land. So what happened? So these are the derailed. I will just read this. The Gibeonites told the Israelites, "We are your servants. We come from a very distant country. Your servants have come because of the name of the Lord your God. For we have heard a report of him and all that he has done and did in Egypt. At that time, it's still the Lord God, your God. It's not their God yet. But they tried to make a covenant because they want it so bad. They want the Lord God to be their God. That's why they need to do what they have to do and try to make a covenant with God's people. They have peace with God. And that's their dedication. So what happened to the Israelites? They just renewed the covenant. And Joshua read every word from Moses. And they all bowed and said, "Yeah, we will do. Don't you remind? It's so easy of me." It reminds me of myself that when I read the Bible, it seems like, oh, I know all the stories. I read it, it seems like I know. But when times comes, is it really the thing? I can be wrong. I could remember wrong. I could skip or miss or just totally forgot. Just like the Israelites. I can read the two chapters this morning. I may forget half of them by the afternoon. But still, I will think I know everything. Oh, it's so easy. It's so simple. I read it so many times. I know the story so good. But we still miss. That Israelites miss. And we will miss. Not only me. I'm pretty sure every one of us here will miss. That's why we need to go back to the Word. So the Israelites were asking, and they continue to ask the Israelites, "Take provisions in your hand, go to meet them and say to them, 'We are your servants.'" And that's as a whole, the Gibeonites, the leaders of the Gibeonites make this plan because what they heard, they sent some diplomats to go to Joshua and try to make a covenant with them. So they did take the provision and try to make a covenant with them. So the Israelites, what they did is on verses 14 and 15, you can clearly see. So the man took some of their provisions, but did not ask counsel from the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live. And the leaders of the congregation swore to them. And after that, they didn't ask much, even though they knew they were lying, because 3 days later, they sent some Israelites there, and then, okay, they were just like in our neighborhood. But before that, they made a covenant with them already. At that time, they have peace with them. And this is before they find out that they were deceived. Of course, we are all made out of God's image, and we have God's attributes. And same as the Israelites. I can see the compassion here. They see people with worn-out clothes, looking so bad. We have compassion on them. Our God may be low at times. Are they telling the truth? Are we being deceived? As Christians, we are so easily be called the stupid. Because whenever people have need, they'll come and call the church. We have need. Why don't you help us? I mean, there are so many people, including some of my friends, that, oh, yeah, when you have trouble, go to a church. They will help you. They are loving people. I don't mean that all of them will come to deceive us. Some of them come with a real heart. But we don't know. That's why we have to count on God so much. They made a covenant with them. Even though they asked to be servants, the Gibeonites asked to be servants, at that time, when you look at the covenant, they made peace, made a covenant, let them live, and swore to them. At that time, they don't have to serve. They just make peace with the Israelites. They can go back home and live the way they live. But 3 days later, they found out something different. So what happened there? A lot of times, we depend on ourselves so much. We depend on ourselves so much. The Israelites, the same. What happened is they didn't ask God. They were supposed to ask God. Even Numbers, they were said, I mean, you have to go when Moses anointed Joshua to be the next leader. He was told to confer with Eleazar, the high priest, so the high priest can go and ask God. Joshua didn't ask. The leaders didn't ask. I don't know whether Eleazar asked, but one thing he didn't do is he didn't remind Joshua. So a lot of people fail, not only one. Because we all depend on ourselves so much. We think we know it all. We can do it on our own. It's so easy. It's so simple. It's just like me when I do a simple thing. Oh God, I get a handle. I did so well yesterday, last week. I don't have to ask for your wisdom anymore. And I was wrong. Same as the Israelites. They were wrong. They count on their own dependency instead of depending on God. They count on their own sufficiency instead of seeing God is their provider. And after that, they know they were deceived. We can be deceitful. Our hearts are deceitful above all. But God is faithful. As I said before, we are all made of God's image. And the Israelites do bear God's attributes of being faithful. They remember a covenant is a covenant. Once they make it, it's good. It's sealed. Signed, sealed, and delivered. They do honor the covenant. But Joshua did curse them. Because of their deceitfulness. Every sin has a consequence. Even though the sins are forgiven, there are consequences. So the Gibeonites, even though they deceive the Israelites, God will honor the covenant. But there's still consequences. The consequences was they were cursed. They were cursed. In verse 15, it said, Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live. And the leaders of the congregation swore an oath to them. But after that, when Joshua cursed them in verse 27, but Joshua made them all day cutters of wood and drawers of water for the congregation and for the altar for the Lord to this day in the peace which he could choose. But before that, they were made. Some of you will forever be a servant. That's what the curse is. They have to serve, and some of them will have to serve forever. So even though they have peace with God, there are still consequences. As we are Christians, we all know that God will forgive our sins, but there are still consequences that we need to bear. What we have done is done. It's undeniable. If we hurt someone, we did hurt someone. If I say something bad and someone is hurt, that hurt is forever there. It doesn't mean I speak with good intention. I don't mean to hurt. And the hurt doesn't count. The hurt will stay there. No matter what I say, what I speak, what I do, if I hurt someone, it will stay there. Just like when I hurt my wife, my daughters and my family, and brothers and sisters in Christ. If I say something wrong, something bad, something with an evil intention, something out of my pride, when I hurt someone, the hurt is going to be there and stays there. This is a scar that I broke my arm, I mean my wrist, 2019. What has been done is done. It's broken, it's broken. Same thing. If I hurt someone, the hurt stays there. How can we reconcile with that? It's only through God, only through God's forgiveness, only through God's healing. The main thing is, how can we initiate the reconciliation, even though we have done bad things? Even though, I mean, the Israelites didn't do well by not listening to God, by not counseling him, but at least they do something. They still listen some to God. They honor the covenant. Out of Joshua's loving heart, he saved the Gibeonites. Because the Gibeonites, they think about killing the Israelites, they think about killing the Gibeonites because they don't think they deserve it. They make the covenant by deception. Then they can void the covenant. But God said, no, whatever is said is said. Every word is true. Every word is going to come true. So a lot of times we may make agreement with someone. If they break it, we may not forgive it, we cannot forget it. And especially if someone make an agreement with us that with an intention to cheat us, we feel deception. It's so hard to forgive, and we just want to tear up the agreement and say, oh, we never made it. But God is not like that. God said, a covenant is a covenant. A promise is a promise. An agreement is an agreement. Whatever is said is true. To him is true. Good thing is the Israelites did follow God in that way. They honored the covenant and spared their Gibeonites. Man can be deceitful, but God is faithful all the time. As we all know, our heart is deceitful above all things. No one can really know what's going on, even myself. I can be deceived by myself sometimes. So the Gibeonites were commanded to serve and be servants of woodcutters and water bearers for the sanctuary, for the congregation. And they serve. They're willing to be servant. A lot of times when we Christians, when we say we are servants, we come to serve. Do we serve with joy? The Gibeonites were serving the most menial chores and hard and tough. They need to carry the water, chop the wood. Those are heavy. But they never complained. They were so faithful. As a matter of fact, they served a long time. And it's because of that, God bless them. This is going to be next. So when we serve, when we serve a church, when we serve our people, do we choose our own thing? Oh, I'm not good for this. Why don't you go and ask Brother A, Brother B, Brother C, or Sister C, or whatever, that, oh, they are more diligent. They are much better than I am. Refusing to serve. Oh, no, this job is too menial for me. I'm much better than that. I don't deserve to wash the toilet, to go into the attic and clean out. I deserve to be on the stage, to speak in front of public, No, God said no. God said you have to serve according to his will. I would really recommend every one of us to serve. As Jesus says in John 12:25, if anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. No matter where you serve, have a willing heart, have a joyful heart, have a cheerful heart to serve. No matter it's picking up empty bottles on the floor, cleaning up some pew, moving chairs, or teaching Sunday school, behind the AV, or cleaning the chairs, or serving lunch. Serve with a joyful heart. Be content with God and listen to him. Because Jesus says, if anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. So we talk about the determined, which are the Gibeonites. They really want to know God and follow God. And we talk about the derailed, the Israelites. They knew about God, but they fell to the right and to the left. And they keep on falling. And that's why in Joshua chapter 1, it already said, your words need to be in your mouth. Meditate day and night. Still they forget. So let's look at the third group of people, the disbelieved. There were five kings from Jerusalem. I mean, start with the king from Jerusalem, respond to our fear and choose not to follow God. The Gibeonites fear for their life and chose to follow God and to be a covenantal people. But the Jebusites, the king of Jerusalem and other tribes, that they still believe that they can do it on their own. By combining the effort, they can win over God. Man over God. Does that sound familiar? The Tower of Babel. They want to reach heaven by themselves without asking God, without depending on God, without trusting God. Same thing happened here. The Jebusites were trying to win over God, to defend themselves. But they get fear. They fear of the Lord. But on top of that, they fear Gibeonites, because Gibeonite is in the middle of them. And they know the Gibeonites are strong warriors and the city is fortified. That's why they're so fearful. And then the king of Jerusalem goes, hey guys, you come to help me. So they all go and try to destroy the Gibeonites. And the Gibeonites were smart. They made a covenant with the Israelites. So they sent people to Joshua. Hey, come and help me. And Joshua is very good this time. He go and ask God. And God told him, fear not. He has handled it. Fear not. Go. He has handled every one of them. It's so true. So Joshua and his troop marched to Gibeonites overnight from Gilgal, 18 miles apart, overnight, with the equipment, with their armor. Besides of that, not only 18 miles, they have to climb 3,500 feet because Gilgal is in one of the lowest points of the earth. And Gibeon is high up there, close to the elevation of Jerusalem. So the difference is like 3,500 feet. Imagine one night. And then the following day, they fight the Gibeonites. The Jebusites. And then they were winning. How do you know? Because the Jebusites fled from Israel while they were in. And the Lord confounded them before Israel. He slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and pursued them by the way of the ascent of Mount Horon and struck them as far as Azekah and Makkediah. They were fighting up the ascent of Beth Horon, and God is fighting for them on the way down. Because in verse 11 said, as they fled from before Israel, while they were at the descent of Beth Horon, the Lord threw large stones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died. There were more who died from the hailstones than whose home the sons of Israel killed with the sword. Then God, who is fighting the war? God is. Because God is killing more people than what the Israelites could and did. And then Joshua prayed the most powerful, wonderful, and most scary prayer. You know what he prayed? He said, O sun, stand still at Gibeon, and O moon in the valley of Ajalon. Joshua asked the Lord to deliver the Amorites before the sons of Israel. He asked God to make the sun stand still at Gibeon and the moon in Ajalon. Can you imagine? Even though the cities are a few miles apart. Some would say, well, this is only you. How can you make the sun stand still and the moon stand still? Again, I wouldn't take out the possibility that the moon stands still and the sun stands still. God is all powerful. Imagine, remember, he is the creator. If we refuse to accept that God can do that, we are putting God in a box. I'm so prideful that I think God is only so much. He cannot do this. So there is a possibility he did it, or maybe he didn't do it. I don't know. But we cannot say for sure that this couldn't be done. As a matter of fact, it is, and I believe it was done because it was written in the book of Joshua. The whole incident was recorded. So our God is so powerful, not opening, besides opening waters, separating rivers, seas, he can stop the sun and stop the moon. So the Gibeonites are blessed. They were saved by the Israelites. And because of that, the Israelites can clean out all the Jebusites and all the Amorites. Not fearing or worry about time. They have all the time they need until everyone is down. And this is what happened to the disbelieved. The Gibeonites were fearful of their life. They asked for the Lord. But the Jebusites and the Amorites, they were fearful of their life, but they count on themselves. And that's the difference. And then who are the deliverers? They are the Gibeonites and the derailed Israelites. Why are the Gibeonites delivered? Because they submitted to God. They have peace. They were protected. The city was saved. But you know what? God is really faithful. He turned their curses to blessings. Because of the curse, they need to work in the tabernacle, in the congregation, in the temple, to carry water, to chop wood all day long. They get to listen to the Bible. They get to listen to the words. They got to serve with the Levites. Remember, only the Levites can serve at the temple. Because they are slaves, they can get to serve there. And God really blessed them. Because later on, not only using the Israelites to clear up the city, but later on in Joshua chapter 21, Gibeon became a Levitical city where all the Levites lived. And as a matter of fact, they are so faithful that they continue to become temple workers until the time of Ezra. They were so faithful. And none of them would get involved in any battles between the Israelites and the Canaanites. They always stay on the side of the Israelites. They didn't go back. They didn't turn back. None of them. And because of that, God really blessed them and turned a curse into blessing. Imagine that we can turn a curse on us into blessing. As we are all cursed to death, as you all know, the wrath of sin is death. We are cursed to die. But by accepting God's grace that we can become a son of his or daughter of his, that we can be a blessing. But what happened if we did something wrong? Even though we didn't do it with a wrong intent, how can we turn that into a blessing to others? God has used different men to do different things to me and help me and pour into my life. But as I was addicted to pornography a few years back, he led me to see that what I did was wrong. I was stealing from my family. I was isolating them. I was neglecting them. I didn't love them. But because of that, he led me to repentance. I asked him for forgiveness and asked him to live out my desire, my addiction of pornography. He did. He did live it. He forgave me. But there are still consequences. The consequences are, I have been away from my family so long. I don't know how to love them and to be with them. Back then when I was addicted, I would use every opportunity to tell my wife to go shopping with the kids, to go and have fun so I can stay home and watch. And because of that, I don't know how to spend time with them anymore. My kids feel they are distant from me. My wife felt like she doesn't know me. We didn't have a good relationship. And God really turned me around. Even though I was having the consequences of neglecting them and not loving them, he showed me how to love them again. So I'm now learning to pursue them again, to love them just the way they are. God can use anything. Man may mean it for bad, for evil, but God can mean it for good. So even though we did something wrong, God still takes us because our sins are forgiven, because he is faithful, that he's going to forgive our sins when we repent. And this is how faithful God is. And because the Gibeonites are faithful in serving them, in serving God, in serving the temple, not only that generation was saved and was blessed, the second generation, third generation, fourth generation were blessed. They continue to serve at the temple. They stay with the Israelites. They stay close to God. They continue to serve. Even though they were doing menial job, menial chores, hardworking, not appreciative, but they continue to serve. And brothers and sisters, I ask you, do you want to serve? Do you want to serve at your own term? Do you want to turn any curses on you to be a blessing, not only to yourself, but to your next generation? When we serve, do we serve with a heart that we are serving God? Do we serve with a heart that are so longing for admiration, acknowledgement, and approval? Or do we serve according to the Lord's will? The Gibeonites were so submissive to Joshua, they could only serve at whatever, wherever Joshua told them to. And because of that, to this day, they are still serving in the place that Joshua chose for them. They continue to serve. And this is what's said in Joshua chapter 9. And how about the Israelites, even though they were derailed? But God is faithful. No. So, a covenant is a covenant, and a covenant is a promise. A promise is something that happened in the future. And this is what God said, a promised future despite of an undeniable past. It doesn't matter what we have done, how bad we are. And I've met some people who said, oh, God will never take me. I need to repent. I need to clean up myself. I need to behave good before I can come to church, before I can get close to God. God said, no. If you accept God, He will accept you. He is merciful. He is gracious. All He looks for is a heart, a repentant heart, a humble heart, and a serving heart. Because He is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and this is who God is. God has given us the freedom to choose. Just like the Gibeonites and the king of Jerusalem and the Jebusites, all of them are fearful. The Gibeonites are fearful, but they choose to follow God. The king of Jerusalem, the Jebusites, and the Amorites, they were fearful, but they chose to follow themselves and believe in themselves. Curses versus blessings. The Gibeonites turned their curses into blessings. Same way. God will turn our curses into blessings if we are obedient, just like He has promised the Israelites. We are obedient, then He will turn curses into blessings. May we all be obedient in serving. May we all be obedient in following God. Accept who we are. Accept our undeniable past, how broken it is, how sinful it is, how wrong it is. Repent and follow God. They have a promised future. And God is faithful. Even though the Israelites derailed, He delivered them. So at the end of chapter 10, He said, so Joshua struck out the whole land, just as the Lord God of Israel commanded. And Joshua captured all these kings and the land at one time, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. The Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. And again, the Lord God of Israel will fight for us. Do not fear. This is what God said. Do not fear. Hear His word and follow Him. Then how do we follow? We need to follow according to God's will. Just like when Joshua prayed, he prayed according to the Lord's will to take out the Jebusites. When we pray, we need to pray according to the Lord's will. So His will be done. His will be done. And this is what Jesus taught. We need to know what God's will is. How do you know? How do I know? We can only know by meditating on His precepts and fix our eyes on His ways. And that's how we know His will. Father God, we thank You for this time. We thank You for Your words. We thank You for Your grace and Your faithfulness. Thank You for Your faithfulness, even though we are deceitful, that You are faithful. Even though we run away from You, You are faithful in turning us back, in drawing us back to You. Even though we depend on ourselves, but You are faithful in waiting for us so we can turn back to You. And Father, may we have our eyes focused on Your words. May we have our hearts open to You and listen to Your words. Be receptive to who You are and receptive to Your truth so we can really follow You. So God, we ask You to speak to us daily so we can follow. May You bless everyone, that we all have our hearts to receive You, receive Your words, and receive Jesus as the Lord and Savior, not only as our Savior, but He is our Lord. And we are ready to submit to Your word daily, every time, every minute and every hour. Father God, we thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.